Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Get there on time. Just don't get up there and be all salty. Who are all these new people? This is the harvest. And they were ready more than you. And so I want us to be intentional, man, about what God would have us to do and the steps that he would want us to take. Amen. All right, y'all, let's dive into part two of our message series, The Real. And last week, we got really real. And hey, by the way, if you got any questions about this series that we're in, or even if you got any questions about this potential move, this move that we're embarking upon, you can shoot us an email at info@thebridgechurchva.com. Matter of fact, you can even send me a personal email, PastorEdwin@thebridgechurchva.com. If you got anything, you know, I'm not like some celebrity pastor where, you know, you can't get to me or whatever the case may be. I mean, don't think that you send me an email at 2 o'clock in the morning that I'm going to send you one back. It's not going to happen at all. but man, we want to answer any questions that you may have, but we also want to answer questions as it relates to this series. And actually, in our app, if you download our mobile app for our church in your app store, whether you're Google or Apple, you'll find our app there, download it. But in there, we've also created a form that is a question and answer form for this series. And so if you got any questions that you want to ask as it relates to this series, we've already had a few come in, and let me help us understand something. They are real. And we're going to be answering those questions in the next few weeks in a really cool way. And so you got to make sure that you're here every week. But if you got any questions as it relates to this series, feel free to let us know about that. So today we're going to look at the Song of Songs, chapter 2. And I'm going to try to move through this as quick as possible because, you know, I don't want to kind of keep you too long. But I'm going to make sure that I'm faithful with it. But the Song of Songs, chapter 2. Last week we dove into the Song of Songs, chapter 1. And to start this series called The Real, and we talked about the right or the rules of attraction. And if you missed that message, you can go on our app. You can listen to it there. You can listen to it online on our website, thebridgechurchva.com. But last week we looked at chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. But today we're going to kind of walk through chapter 2 of the Song of Songs, where we look at how this relationship between more than likely King Solomon and his wife, the Shulamite woman, how this relationship continues to progress and some principles that we can take from here. So I'm actually going to read a good chunk of this because I want to make sure that we get it, but I'm only going to highlight a few verses. So we're not going to walk through this whole entire thing verse by verse, but I'm just going to read a significant portion of it just so we can get the feel of what's being said. So let's look at it. Chapter 2, verse 1, here's what it says. I am a wild flower of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my darling among the young women. Now, you notice in the Song of Psalms, oftentimes, like, one speaker will talk, and then another person will talk. One minute it's the man, the next minute it's the woman. In verse 3, it says, like an apricot tree among the trees of the forest, so is my love among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banquet hall, and he looked on me with love. Sustain me with raisins. Refresh me with apricots, for I am lovesick. And may his left hand be under my head and his right arm embrace me. I don't know if y'all noticed this. The Song of Songs is very descriptive. It's a picture of what true love in Christ looks like. And then it continues on. It says, young women of Jerusalem, I charge you. We read this verse last week. By the gazelles and the wild does of the fields, do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment, but you got to understand that there's a time and place for everything, right? There's a time for certain things in a relationship. There's a time where those things should not be taking place. And a lot of times we misinterpret the times that we're in, and we end up falling into certain traps that the enemy has set for us because we've done things out of time. If I give my 4-year-old son the keys to the car, he would kill himself. Why? Because it's not time. But a lot of times when it comes to our relationships, we don't really look at it in that vantage point. I'll talk more about that in a second. It says this, verse 8, listen, my love is approaching. Look, here he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My love is like a gazelle. She feeling her man. Or a young stag. It's like a gazelle or a stag. She's just loving how he looks, loving how he moves. There was a song that came out back in the day that said, I like the way you move. And she's kind of saying that here. I like the way you move, boo. Got moves like Jagger. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Okay. See, he is standing behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My love calls to me. Here's what the man says. Arise, my darling, come away, my beautiful one, for now the winter is past, the rain has ended and gone away season. The blossoms appear in the countryside. The time of singing has come, and the turtle doves cooing is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs. The blossoming vines give off their fragrance. Arise, my darling, come away, my beautiful one, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crevices of the cliff. Let me see your face, and let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the woman says. The little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. And she also says in verse 16, my love is mine and I am his. He feeds among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn around, my love, and be like a gazelle. There she goes again. Or a young stag on the divided mountains. I'm calling today's message, if you're taking notes, simple. In hot pursuit. In hot pursuit. Why, Pastor, would you call this message hot pursuit? Because in chapter 2, what you see is a lot of descriptive language about how these two lovers, husband and wife, are absolutely head over heels in love with each other, pursuing one another. The book of the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon is a picture of what true love looks like. As a matter of fact, for husbands and wives in here, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Here's your homework for the next few weeks. I want you together to read through the book of the Song of Songs. If you're having some marital issues, this will help you out. Read through this together. Why? Because this whole book is about intimacy between a husband and wife. It gives us a picture of some principles that we can apply leading into marriage and also in marriage, written by King Solomon. I mentioned this last week. And he wrote over 1,000 songs, but this was considered to be the Song of Songs. This was considered to be the granddaddy of them all, the greatest song of all. And in this story, you have Solomon and his wife, and you have other characters as well. And this book, it has all these different images that are from nature and other things in that immediate context. But it really points to this amazing love between a husband and a wife and how they just absolutely love each other. And I believe that these principles that we see here in this chapter and in this book really are also principles that we can apply in our own relationships, whether we're in dating season, whether we're engaged, whether we're married. But here's the overarching narrative. As I mentioned last week, Jesus says this in John chapter 5, that all of the scripture testifies to him. So even the Song of Songs is a picture of Jesus and his love for his bride, the church. That's what this is all about. That this really points to a greater picture of this amazing love between Jesus and his bride. It's also a picture that gives us a picture of God's gift of love and of sex and marriage and its joys, but it also gives us an understanding of God's standard for them. And one of the things that we see happening in our culture is that there's no standard when it comes to relationships, when it comes to physical intimacy in the form of sex, and when it comes to dating or whatever it may be. It's like anything goes. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And a lot of times what happens is we approach dating and in our marital relationships essentially in the same way. Let me just do me. And y'all don't know about, I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but doing me will get you in a lot of trouble. If you need some proof of this, go to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve decided, we just gonna do us. Whatever. They disobey God, and everything goes to pots. Doing you is never a good solution. I get the sentiment of it, like, you know what, I'm just gonna do what I feel comfortable with. I understand that. But is it tethered and is it grounded and rooted in what God's plan is? Because it is only God's plan that works. And today's message is going to be very, very, very practical. So you came on a great day. That my hope is that when you leave here with some practical things that you can take and apply to whatever season of relationship you're in. In our context, we're encouraged to go after everything. Go after the job that you want. Go after this. Go after that. Even go after the person that you want to date. While there's nothing wrong with pursuing things, there's nothing wrong with going after things, here's the danger sometimes that comes with that type of understanding, is that we can end up pursuing the wrong things and end up pursuing things sometimes that are good, but at the wrong time. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 4 out of the NIV translation says it like this: there is a time for everything. It's a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heavens. The question is, what season are you in right now? Because the season that you're in right now will determine how you function right now. Nobody in their right mind would wear a North Face jacket in 100-degree temperature. Nobody in their right mind. Now, somebody might, but not in their right mind. Nobody. Not at all. Nobody in their right mind, once again, right mind, would go out into minus 10-degree weather wearing shorts and an A-shirt and a T-shirt with some flip-flops, walking around the snow saying, man, this is so awesome, in their right mind. Nobody does that. Why? Because we understand that certain seasons require certain wardrobes. We have an understanding that with certain seasons come certain patterns. That in the summer it typically becomes very mild and very, very hot and very warm. So that's not the time for me to be wearing a quarter war sweatsuit, if they even make those. It's not the time. It's not the time. Wait about 4 more months. It's not the time right now. And a lot of times what happens is when it comes to our relationships, we don't decipher the season that we're in. So because we don't know the season that we're in, we end up doing certain things that lead to destructive patterns. You in the dead smack of the summer wearing a North Face jacket talking about, why I'm so hot? Really? Man, it's hot out here. I'm sweating like crazy. Well, look what you got on. Do you not know the season that you're in? It's no different when it comes to relationships. There's a season for everything. And a lot of times what happens is because we don't know the season that we're in, we end up doing things that we shouldn't end up doing. Here's a few seasons that we'll end up experiencing, especially for those of us who are dating. This is specifically for you. There will be a season of what I like to call infatuation. Yeah, you see it happening here in verses 8 through 10 between Solomon and his lover. It says this: listen, my love is approaching. Look, here he comes, leaping over the mountains. Come on, he won't really leaping over the mountains. I mean, he ain't pole vaulting over mountains. It ain't Winter Olympics. It's figurative of her infatuation. Oh my gosh, everything he does is just so lovely. He's got the hops like a LeBron James and a Vince Carter 2000 slam dunk contest, because the slam dunk contest today is terrible. Oh my gosh, everything he does is just so amazing. He just smells so wonderful. Look what she says next: bounding over the hills. My love is like a gazelle. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a gazelle. A gazelle is a beautiful animal. She equates them to this. Or a young stag. See, he is standing behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My love, he calls to me. I don't know if you guys understand what she's saying here. He's peeking through. He's peeking through, and she loves it. Oh, I see you looking at me. I see you. Now, right now that seems romantic. Over time, that could be creepy. Right? But she's infatuated. They are infatuated with one another. Now, here's the principle. They just love everything there is about each other. Here's the thing that you got to understand about infatuation. Even psychologists say this, and dating experts say this. This typically lasts for about 6 months, at the most, maybe about 2 years. After that, the thrill is gone in that area. Because now you actually deal with the person. Oh, you just so cute. But he ain't cute when he ain't on time. After every day. Is he still that cute after he was supposed to take out the trash? But he still ain't done it in like 3 months. He ain't cute no more. Now you got flies buzzing around. And gnats everywhere. It's like the infatuation done wore off. right? We would call this in marriage like the honeymoon period. It's like the honeymoon period is kind of wore off. And if you're not dating, or if you're not married and you're dating, especially in this season, there may be a level of infatuation. And trust me, let me help us understand something, because a lot of times in the church, we like to kind of be silent when it comes to this stuff. Like, oh, you can't date anybody who looks good. It's just not God's will. Why God make him like that? He knew what he was doing. What, I'm just supposed to date somebody who just walks around with, you know, Bible sandals on and just like seriously, we're going to spiritualize everything? The Lord knew what he was doing. He said, I made man and woman, and it was good. The sin ain't how they look. The sin is what you do with it. So, oh, trust me, you're dating somebody, more than likely you're attracted to them in some capacity. There's going to be a level of infatuation. You notice certain things. I'm going to just leave it right there. Can I help you, though, if you're in this season right now, you're dating? Let me give us some really practical things. I told you today is going to be very practical. I want to encourage you to limit a few things in this season right now, because there's going to come a time and place where y'all get married, boom, have fun. I want to encourage you to limit your time right now. What do I mean by that? Limit your time. In other words, like don't absorb your entire schedule and your entire life with this person. Because number one, they're not Jesus, right? And if my whole life is wrapped up around them, what happens is I can slowly begin to drift away from the places that God has established for me to continue to grow in. So in other words, like the minute you start dating this person, your friend's like, man, we ain't seen him in like a year. Don't do that. That's not healthy. Don't neglect your spiritual community to go after this particular one person. There has to be some balance there. Limit your talk. I'm not saying don't talk to each other. What I mean by this is don't overspeak. Like, you're on the first day, I love you and I want to marry you. What? Hold on. We don't even know each other. Like, the minute you walked through the door, I just knew. It's a wrap. And you propose right on the spot. That is not good wisdom. My mentor always told me, he said, you want to, especially in dating, you want to be able to see a person in at least all four seasons of the year. I thought it was good wisdom. How they look in this season of their life? Because anybody can put on the front for a little bit of time and convince you that they're legit. But then more seasons begin to press on and you begin to see them for who they are. He says, give it some time. Limit your talk, right? Like, it's cool to talk, man. Me and Ariel, when we were dating, man, we used to talk all the time. Kind of realized, oh, you're talking a little bit too much. I'm gonna skip class talking to you. This ain't good. But this is God's will. No, it is not. Talk after class, right? Like limit some of the talk. And here's the other one. Limit the touch. This is where it gets real. You get sticky fingers around this one. Right? I love this message series because I feel like I could just be real, right? So in the church world, we'll say, like, you know, we're following Jesus and stuff like that. And so, you know, there's a quandary. How much affection do we show for one another? And how much, like, what kind of touching do we do? Do we just do the church hug? You know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. The side joint like this. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Is it okay for me to kiss this person? Right? And depending on some of your backgrounds, like if you come from a church environment that was very legalistic, they said, don't you ever kiss. Well, number one, in the Bible, it doesn't even say that. I'm not going to tell you to do it, but I'm not going to sit here and legalize it or be legalistic and say not to do it. I'm going to say that's more of a personal conviction. But what I can say is the Bible talks about fleeing the appearance of evil and not putting yourself in compromising situations. Do you not think that if both of y'all are attracted to each other, that you are going to be tempted to touch each other in ways that only should happen between husband and wife? God knew he knew that. But he also gave us wisdom, and he also gave us a brain. He also gave us the Holy Spirit. So I got to limit my touch. Craig Rochelle, somebody who we've kind of borrowed a good amount of content for this message series from, he says this, and I love it. He says, touch meaning rubbing, touching, and then, like, sleeping together. You're dating? Nope, off limits. Not at all. But pastor, like, I don't really know too much. Like, come on, like, we're not going far. What if this person is not even your wife or your husband? In other words, you sleeping with somebody else that don't even belong to you. That's called adultery. Limit a touch. We're not building a lustful attraction. We're building a spiritual and friendship attraction. Build your relationship on Jesus, on biblical principles, on friendship. Next, it leads into a season of preparation. You got to understand, if you're dating right now, you are in a season of preparation. You're in a season where, like, everything that you do right now is going to lead into what comes next. Look at verses 11 through 12. It says, "For now the winter is past." That's a season. And then she says this, or then the man says this, "The rain has ended and gone away. The blossoms appear in the countryside. The time of singing has come, and the turtle dove's cooing is heard in our land." Winter has passed. In other words, they've gone from winter to spring. Each season leads to another season. The winter paved the way for the spring. In other words, if you're single, meaning you're not married, you're either single or married. Like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you're still single because you're not married to them. Like, so if you're single, notice that this is a time for preparation for you. And a lot of times what happens is, like, we focus more on finding the right person than becoming the right person. This is a season where you need to be asking God, "God, would you mold me to become the man or the woman that you want me to be?" So that way, when it is time for us to take this step, or when it is time for me to be in a marital relationship with somebody, like, we're on one accord and we're equally yoked. Does this make sense? It's a time of preparation. Time of preparation. Now, by all means, don't think that what I'm saying is that this is like a guarantee for a lot of things. For some of us, man, God's will may not be for you to get married. Not everybody in the Bible was married. Can you be content with that? Like, could Jesus be enough for you? That's a whole nother mess for a whole nother time. But if God's will is for you to be married and you're not married right now, this is a season of preparation. But here's what we're supposed to pursue in all things: Jesus. Here's what Matthew 6:33 says: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Pursuing Jesus and his kingdom ethics, his kingdom principles, is what will shape every aspect of your life, even your relationship with your spouse or the person that you are either engaged to or dating right now. Even if you're a student or a teenager, this is the greatest thing you can do right now in this season. Pursue Jesus. Seek Jesus. Like, pursue him. Make him the object of all of your attention, the focal point of your life. You have plenty of time to focus on a girl or to focus on a guy. Focus on Jesus right now. Let him build you right now. That's where the focal point should be. And I know it's tempting because a lot of times we live in this context where everybody got a relationship. Like, for many of us on Wednesday, you know, for some of us, it could have been challenging because, like, you see everybody posting on Facebook and on Instagram. Oh, my boo. Like, I hate Valentine's Day. Posting about their love. Care none, it's me and Jesus. Right? I get it. But here's what I want us to understand. Like, more than anything else, that our contentment doesn't come by having somebody on our arm. Our contentment comes by the one who was on a cross. His name is Jesus. That's where true love comes from. That's what real love is about. So what should we pursue in the midst of pursuing Jesus? What does that look like no matter what season of life we find ourselves in? So this is for all of us in here, whether you're dating, whether you're married. Here's number one: in all seasons, we pursue intimacy. Intimacy. Why do I say that? Let's look at verse 14. Notice what the man says to the woman: "My dove in the clefts of the rock and the crevices of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." Notice what he says. He desires to be close to her. He desires to have a closeness, to see her for who she is. In the Bible, you would hear language being used like face to face. It didn't always mean physical. It was more so an idiom or a metaphor to represent closeness. So all throughout the Old Testament, you see this type of language. You would see things like where it talks about how Moses saw God face to face. That wasn't like a literal he saw God face to face. It meant that there was a closeness, there was an intimacy here between Moses and God. He saw him essentially as somebody would see face to face. The man here desires intimacy. And in no matter what season you are in right now, married or dating, there should be a level of intimacy, closeness, transparency there. That's what it should be. For husbands and wives, this means that you and I, we bear everything before our spouses, where we're transparent. Intimacy can also be said, into me you see. It means that you see me for who I am. It means that I'm not projecting the avatar. You see me for who I am. I'm not faking the funk. A lot of times, man, like social media has exposed, it hasn't corrupted, it's exposed the issue in our generation, because a lot of times we're good at putting up fronts on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter, but that's not really who we are. We're giving people the version of ourselves that we want people to see, but that ain't really you. No. True intimacy is when I allow a person to come into my life and for them to see me for who I am. Even if you're dating, this is something that you begin to practice right now. Because if you cannot be transparent with the person that you are dating, that probably means there's something wrong with that relationship. It probably means that relationship is not going to go the way that you want it to be. Intimacy is not just, it's not about romance. It's not about flowers. It's not about sex. Intimacy is not sex. Plenty of people have sex all the time with one another and are not close. It has nothing to do with that. It can lead to that, but it is not that in and of itself. Intimacy is a closeness. He says to her, let me see you face to face. And in our generation, man, people thrive on sexual relationships. Do you want to know why, like, sex is so pervasive in our culture? It's because people are longing for intimacy and think that the more sex that I have, the more intimate or the more feeling I will experience on a regular basis. But that doesn't come as a result of that. It only comes by me being intimate with God, being close to God, and by being close to his people. Into me you see. Let me say this for those of us who are especially married. Just because you are close by does not mean you are close to. Some of y'all are like, what? That doesn't make sense. Let me say this. You can be in the same room with somebody and be miles apart. God desires for us to have intimacy in our marriages. The one thing that God wants for your marriage, if you're married in here, is he desires that there will be a greater level of intimacy in here. A lot of times we'll think that, man, we're close to each other because we share the same sink, or we're close to each other because we share the same bed, or we're close to each other because we share the same toothbrush. Some of you are like, no, you went too far with that one, Pastor. No. You can have all those things in common and still be far away from each other. This is why you can see people who can be married for years and all of a sudden just pop up with a divorce. The intimacy was struggling. God desires that you and I would pursue intimacy, number one, with him. Here's what Psalm 27, verse 8 says. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. You say, seek my face. Who are we supposed to pursue intimacy with first? God. If you don't know who you are and who God has made you to be, how will you ever be able to connect with somebody else? That's like the biggest issue in relationships. Because we got people getting together who don't even know who they are, trying to figure out how this relationship thing is going to work. Your relationship with God is your most important relationship, hands down. There was an old song that says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything else. Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Some of y'all don't know anything that I'm talking about right now. Because your relationship with God is the most important relationship. But then also, for those of us who are married, pursuing intimacy with God, but also pursuing intimacy with your spouse. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 34 talks a lot about this. I don't have a lot of time to read it, so I'm not. But go back and read it. The Apostle Paul talks about a picture of what marriage should look like, and he mirrors it to that of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his bride being the church. That physical intimacy should be taking place in our marriages. For those of us who are dating, y'all can't be physically intimate right now. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. But I got to test drive it, Pastor. Y'all didn't expect me to say that. Come on, man. I got to get a preview. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's what culture says. That will wreck your life. Do it God's way. It's a matter of faith, trusting God, believing in God, going with God's plan, doing it His way. So what does intimacy look like right now if I'm dating? It means just being transparent with each other, opening up about what God is doing in your life, sharing some of your vision, sharing some of your dreams, sharing some of your goals, being open, being transparent, even with the practical things. You know what I mean? Not lying about if your person that you're dating asks you, hey, what were you doing Friday night? And you went out with somebody. Oh, you know, I was just reading my Bible. Careful with that one. Being transparent. Being transparent about some of the things that you struggle with. Matter of fact, for those of us who are dating, I would highly encourage you to share that. Especially if you struggle when it comes to the physical things. Talk to that person, hey, you know what? We can't do this because I struggle in this area of physicality and touching. You know what? I don't really know if it's a good idea for us to be kissing a whole lot because I kind of have an extreme personality. Once I start, I don't stop. Y'all laughing, I'm dead serious. You need to have these type of conversations because if not, you're going to end up hemmed up somewhere trying to figure out how did I get here. You got to be transparent. Matter of fact, if you're dating, lay out your standards up front. We will not have sex until we get married. Oh, really? Yes. Well, you know what you got to do with them. Drop them. Cut them. Because if this person wants you to compromise your standard with God so you could be with them, that's not worth being with. Is this helping anybody? You got to be real about it. Be transparent with that person. God desires above all that we be close to Him and others. He designs this for His family and the church. For those of us who are married in here, intimacy may be an issue that you're struggling with right now. Let me help us understand something. Distance breeds division. Division breeds destruction. Y'all want to know when the enemy showed up in the Bible? It wasn't when God made everything. Do you know when the serpent, the devil, Lucifer, was actually mentioned in Genesis? It was after Adam and Eve came together as one. In other words, the enemy wants to divide that which God brings together. And how does he work? He works through division. So he goes to Eve. He says, God didn't really say, already he's sowing seeds of discord. Now there's distance between them and God, leading to distance between them and one another. The one thing that the enemy wants more than anything else, for those of us who are married husbands and wives, is to cause you guys to be divided and there to be distance. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down in your anger. Confront that thing. Yeah, give each other some time to cool off, whatever the case may be, but you got to deal with it head on, because if not, the enemy will. He'll come in and he'll ruin that thing. Deal with it. Destroy the division before the division destroys you. Transparency leads to transformation. Find opportunities to be transparent with. Even in our church, we've created small groups so that way you could be transparent with one another. James 5 says, confess your sins to one another. Be transparent with each other. Be intimate with one another so that you can be healed. And a lot of the reason why many of us stay stuck where we are is because we are not being transparent with who we are. So we stay in bondage. And God is like, would you just be intimate and be transparent? Would you just take the mask off and just show me who you are and just show others who you are? But we not only do that, but we also pursue purity. I just spoke a little bit about that. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Pursue purity. Notice what verse 15 says back in Song of Songs, chapter 2. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. Now, when you read this verse, you're like, what does this have to do with purity? It has everything to do with it. Because in the Song of Songs, the word vineyard is oftentimes used to describe either one person's body or a particular relationship. It's a metaphor. And the foxes that this person is talking about were things that would come in and try to disrupt it and cause there to be some impurity to devour that which was good and tear it apart. So in that context, little foxes would get caught up in vineyards and they would literally go to the vineyards and devour the grapes. In the Bible, grapes produced wine. Wine was equivalent with joy. Do you see where I'm going with this thing? The enemy wants to send out little foxes to disrupt the joy that God wants you to experience in your relationship, whether you're dating or married. And one of the ways that he does that is in the area of purity. And so what the person is saying here is, go catch the foxes. There's initiative being taken. He says, go catch them. It speaks of intentionally fighting to maintain the joy, the integrity, the purity in the relationships. What do I mean by this in particular? Pursuing sexual purity. Next week, we're going to kind of dive into this topic of sex, calling it sexual healing. Hope you're ready for it. Some of y'all like blushing right now, like, oh gosh, I cannot come to church next week. No, you want to be here. It's time for us to hear God's way, because his way is better. His way leads to joy. So I'm not going to talk too much about it today, but I want to lay a foundation for it, that we pursue purity, in particular sexual purity, in our relationships. And this goes whether you're dating or whether you're married. Here's what Job chapter 31 verse 1 says. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. I made a covenant with my eyes. You want me to translate it? What Job is saying, this is for the guys especially here. Job is saying, I'm not doing no double takes. Oh, y'all know what a double take is? Y'all just want to be spiritual today. Okay. You know what a double take is. When you happen to see somebody who's attractive, like happen to see them, but then you look again. Or then you look again. Or then you look again. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. You're working out. You're at a gym. You see some people. You see some ladies. They're wearing joggers. They're wearing tight, revealing clothing. You're like, Pastor, it's not my fault. And you put some clothes on. You're right. But those are your eyes. We're having this conversation with our son right now where, like, at nighttime, it's always an event to put them to bed. And they're always talking and stuff like that. And we're always like, hey, y'all need to be quiet. Y'all need to go to bed. So a few nights ago, Aubrey, our middle child, was in there talking. And Josiah, he started talking. I go in the room. I was like, hey, what's going on in here? And Josiah was like, she was talking first, and she made me talk. Really? Daddy, she made me talk. I had to talk because she talked. No, you didn't. So, of course, we all know, because we're knowledgeable, nobody has to make you do anything. That's your choice. What she does has nothing to do with what you do. Let me deal with her, but I'm going to deal with you too, because that was your choice. So we have to guard against these things that come in that the enemy would try to do to cause us to compromise. So that means, like, I got to put some guardrails up in my life to protect the purity of my relationship, whether I'm dating or whether I'm married. I'll be real with you guys. Like, so when I go to the gym, I have my headphones on. My bro Corey's back there. We work out at the same gym. He'll tell you, when I'm in there, I got my headphones on. I'm looking down like this. Y'all laughing. I'm super serious. Ain't no looking around. I see somebody coming out of there. I go the other way. Water break. Even if I just had water break. I'm serious. Why? Because I love God too much and I love my family too much. You got to protect your purity, man. For those of us who are dating, it's the same thing. You got to protect it. You got to put some guardrails up. You got to say, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'll say this. In my campus ministry days where I was teaching on things like this, I had somebody come up to me and said, Pastor, you're so right talking about sexual purity. My uncle used to always say, there's only a few things that are open past midnight. I'm going to leave it there. You have to protect the pure. You have to set guardrails up. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much Holy Spirit you got in you. You are still a man and you are still a woman. So, being alone at 12 o'clock in the morning at each other's house, sitting on the couch, watching Netflix, trying to figure out the next movie you're going to watch at 12? Probably not a good idea. It's probably not a good idea. You got to make a covenant that says, yeah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not. And I'm not even going to put myself in situations where I know I could fall. Here's what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 says. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run. I like how the Bible says, stand and fight. There's oftentimes where the Bible will say, stand firm. It don't say it here. It says, run. Run, Forrest, run. Get out of there. Don't play no games. A perfect picture of this in the Bible is a story with a guy by the name of Joseph, and he found himself in this situation where his boss, his wife, came to him and tried to make a sexual advance, and she was kind of like a cougar, like that. Like, and so she was coming after him, and she was like, Joseph, sleep with me. Joseph was like, no, this will be a sin before God and a sin before my master. I love God, I love my master so much, I'm not going to do this. She came to him day after day. Then one day she set it up perfectly where it was just her and Joseph. She was like, I got him. And the Bible says that she made another advance at him, and Joseph ran, and she grabbed a cloak to kind of come up with some crazy story that Joseph tried to make an advance. But here's the point. Joseph ran. Why do you think he ran? Mind you, when Joseph is doing this, he was in Egypt. In that context, the Egyptian women were beautiful, especially those who were in high position. Potiphar's wife, his boss's wife, let me just say it like this. She looked good. Do you think Joseph stayed around to figure out what's going to happen 10 minutes from now? Are we going to pray? Are we going to seek Jesus right now? Are we going to fast and lay hands on one another? No. He got out of there. You got to flee it. You got to run. The Bible is adamant about this. There's not a lot of things that the Bible says run from, but this is one of them. Run. Do not stay there. Run. Seriously, you find yourself out on a date, and all of a sudden, like, temptation is riding hot. Get out. Like the movie, get out. Get out. You find yourself in the car with that person, and all of a sudden, temptation is starting to rise up. Temperature's rising. You start sweating. Goosebumps is happening all over the place. And get out. Get out. I'm telling you, man, ain't nothing good is coming after this. I mean, it may feel good, but it ain't going to be good. Get out. Flee anything that stimulates youthful lust. And instead, here's what he says, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. If you're dating somebody right now, especially who's constantly trying to get you to compromise and is constantly trying to set up the mood so that way they can lead to something else, that's probably an indicator that this is not somebody that God wants me to be with, because the person that God wants me to be with is not going to lead me down a path of destruction, but wants to see me honor God. Can I give you guys one of the most, can I say this, sexiest things about a person? It's a person who pursues Jesus. You want to know what attracted me the most about my wife? It wasn't because she went to HU, she was smarter than me. It wasn't that. It was because of her relationship with God. Like seeing how she would honor God and seeing how she loved people. Seeing how, like, I remember there's plenty of times where, like, we were in a worship service and I would kind of just be like. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I went to my mentor. I was like, hey, man, what do you think about Ariel? He was like, man, Ariel, she's legit. She loves God. And well, fast track, here we are, married with 3 kids. With no more on the way right now. Why do I say that? Because there's nothing more attractive than seeing somebody who loves God. Nothing. Nothing at all. Not one bit. And those of us who are married in here and your spouse loves Jesus and you love Jesus, you should be saying amen. There's nothing more attractive than that. Not at all. Looks, they fade, y'all. Absolutely they fade. Why do you think people spend so much money to get physical alterations like 60 years from now to try to continue to look a certain way? That fades, but man, from glory to glory for the person who's following Jesus. Absolutely. It's like they get better with time. They're growing with Christ. You want to be with somebody who loves God, not somebody who's going to cause you to compromise. 4 tips for those of us pursuing purity in dating, and I'm ending with this. I want you to set your standards up front. I mentioned it earlier. I'm reiterating it again. I want you to be intentional about your standards. It is too late to try to write the rules when you are in the game. It's too late for you to be like, when you're in a situation that's compromising or tempting, to be like, you know what? I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes not to look at anything lustful. It's too late then. No. Set your standards up front. 4 feet on the floor. What? I mean what I say. 4 feet on the floor. The minute you start to go into like Samson and Delilah positioning, where y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, man. You sitting on the couch or they sitting on the couch and you want to get more comfortable. You know, it's cold outside and you want to get all warm and cozy and it's nice and comfortable under the blanket and you just want to lay your head in that person's lap and feet go up on the couch, feet on the floor. Get them on the floor. Get them on the floor. Because if 2 feet go on the couch, it's that much, we're halfway there. 50%. Y'all, you know what I love about this series? Y'all ain't saying nothing, but you know I'm telling the truth. It's the real, man. And I know this because I've been in these situations plenty of times, and it has not always ended well. And every time I look back, I'm like, man, yep, God, you were right. You're right. Messed it up. Keep everything, here's what Pastor Craig Rochelle says, I love it. Keep everything buttoned, zipped, latched, and tied. In other words, keep everything under lock and key. Now, I'm not saying like y'all chilling and all of a sudden you got this big old North Face jacket. Well, I'm staying in this thing because I don't want nothing to pop off. I'm not saying that. Please don't take me like that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Tell the person, like, don't do that. You know what I'm saying. Like, be careful, man. And here's another, this is going to mess some of us up. Keep your tongue in your mouth. Keep it in the mouth. The Bible says greet each other with a holy kiss. Holy kiss. Which means like being able to approach any person. You ain't going to just approach no stranger in the street with no tongue. That ain't no holy kiss. I love it, man. Y'all faces right now like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. No. If you're dating, especially right now, you need to treat that person, that brother, that sister, like they're a brother and sister in Christ because they are. Like, seriously. But, Pastor, you're going too far. No, I'm not. Because the problem is, oftentimes, we think that we're stronger than we actually are, and then we get in a situation, and then we fall. I'm trying to save us some heartbreak. Is it difficult right now? Yes, it's difficult. It's supposed to be. That's what happens when you have a cult, when you have a standard. It's not popular to have a standard in the culture that says do anything that you want. It's not easy. Do you think it was easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to not bow down while everybody else is? It's difficult, y'all, but it's worth it in the end. It's so worth it, man. God's way always pays off. Married couples, pursue purity in your relationships. Husbands, stay away from compromising situations with women. A well-known pastor by the name of Rick Warren, he said this on a leadership podcast, and I loved it. He says he doesn't even take one-on-one meetings with women in a private place, not even in his own church office. He says if he's meeting with somebody of the opposite sex, he has somebody else in the office with him with the door open, windows all through the doors. I love it. Why do you need to do all that? Because we love God too much. And we want to honor what he says to honor. Wives, stay away from things that chew away at your closeness with your husband. So like, get rid of some of the novels that have you just fantasizing about men who aren't yours. Like when you're watching all these different TV shows or whatever the case may be, you're fantasizing over your Hollywood husband. That seems cute. It's not. That's the type of stuff that the enemy uses to cause discord. Because when you look at your husband, you don't see Denzel. You see Faison Love. I had to give y'all some type of comparison. That's just the first thing that popped in my head. You don't see Brad Pitt. So cut it off. Stop. Because this is chewing away at your closeness. You got to pursue purity in your relationship. Honoring each other. Encouraging each other. Guard your marriage. And I want to leave us with this thought. That I believe that when we're in hot pursuit of the things that God wants us to pursue, the purity, the intimacy, the closeness with God, that is when we begin to experience the joy that God wants. This picture in the Song of Songs is a picture of what joyful relationships look like. Man, God wants nothing more than for the relationship that you have right now, the person that maybe you're dating or the person that you're married to, he wants there to be joy in it. He wants it to be when people see it, people are like, man, I want what they have. He wants it to be where they see you and they're like, man, I want that. And even for those of us in here like, man, Pastor, you know what? I've messed up. Because when I look at this thing, purity, man, I've blown that. I've messed up. when I think about intimacy, I've messed that up too. Can I encourage you? This is not about heaping guilt on you. Because I want you to know that because of Jesus, man, you're brand new. Like, it doesn't matter what you did. Like, all of us are being renewed day in and day out. Pastor, I've had so many sexual partners, it's ridiculous. Jesus knew that when he died on the cross. But yet he still says, I want to make you new. He still says, I've cleansed you, I've made you whole. That's the good news of the gospel, y'all. That it doesn't matter what we've done. That this message series is not about seeing like how much we've messed up and how many bad relationships we've had in the past. No, it's to help us get a picture of what we can have that's much better. That's what it's about. And I want you to leave out of here knowing today, man, that God has something greater for you. Whether it's in the form of a godly marriage or the person that you're dating, or even if you don't end up getting married, man, God has something amazing for you. And it's not based upon what you did or didn't do. It's all about what Jesus did for you on the cross. That's what it's about. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that, man, you're forgiven. I know you've messed up. And I bless God that God doesn't give us this standard so that way he can beat us over the head and say, hey, see, you messed it up. There's no chance for you. I'm glad that God gives us a standard to say, hey, this is what I have for you. And you can experience this. I want to give you this good gift because I love you and I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. God wants to do something amazing in your marriage right now. God wants to do something awesome through the person that you're dating and in that relationship right now. God wants to bring transformation in your life. And it has nothing to do with how much you've screwed up things in the past or even the present or even the future. It has everything to do with him being good. That's the good news. And that's what I want us to walk away with, even not just today, but this entire series. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, here's my question for us today. I want you to ask yourself this question. Where am I right now as it relates to this whole pursuit thing? Am I pursuing Jesus? Am I pursuing the things that he wants me to pursue? Because here's the good news if you're not. You can. You can, y'all. I can, you can. And he wants that for you today. That's what he wants. And so if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, man, I've messed it up. This is me. I've jacked it up. Like, I've done my own thing, and it's led to a lot of bad results. Here's what I want us to do. I want you just to be honest for a moment. Nobody's looking. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. But could you just be honest for a moment? If this is you, nobody's looking. It's just you and God. Could you just be honest and say, Pastor, that's me. I messed it up. But today I want to be set free of that. I want to start a new thing. If that's you, could you just raise your hand really quick? If you could be honest, thank you for your honesty. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. If you're here this morning, you're saying, man, I want greater intimacy with my spouse in my marriage. I want us to have a relationship the way God wants. We haven't been doing it God's way, but today we want to do it God's way. Because you just raise your hand if that's you, if that's your desire as well. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person here this morning, I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. Even in areas where we've blown it, we've messed up, myself included. God, we thank you that you give grace, that you are the God of another chance, that you do new things. That it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter how many relationships have failed. It doesn't matter if we've fallen short. God, your grace is still sufficient. And so I pray for healing emotionally, physically. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, not only is that me, but today I realize that I need to come back to Jesus. I need to come to Christ today. I've been doing things my own way. I've been living my life my own way. But today, I want to repent of that, and I want to turn to Jesus. Today, I want him to lead my life. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to be the one who steers my life, not me any longer. I want him to do it. If that's you, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose again. Jesus, I receive your new life. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Amen. Amen. So here's what I want us to do. These past few weeks, we've kind of gone a little bit over with our time, but I hope it's been encouraging because it's a lot of content that we wanted to give out to you. But if you're here this morning and you say, man, I gave my life to Christ. I prayed that prayer with you, Pastor. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out that connection card that we gave you when you walked in. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. I want you to know that it doesn't matter what you did, man. It doesn't matter where you've come from, my sister, my brother. God has a new plan for you. He wants to do something great through your life. And it happened the minute you said yes to Jesus. Can we get a good amen, church, for those who have just given their life to Christ this morning? Amen. So check that box. And as the offering bucket gets passed around in just a moment, I want you to drop that in the bucket so that way we can follow up with you and share with you some next steps. Also, if today is your...